Okay, we're up to the Neil Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Lamed. We are continuing our discussion of world history, at least from the point in time of Alexander of Yavan. So the Malach shows Daniel everything that's going to happen from the time of Alexander the Great, and now we're up to the point in time where the Hashmonaim have come to an end and Rome has prevailed. Rome is in control, Rome dominates, and Rome at this point in time will attempt to conquer Eretz Yisrael. The only reason why it was prevented from doing so is because it had forged a covenant with Klal Yisrael that they would share power, and now they're beginning to change their mind. They're beginning to conquer the region, they've tried to conquer the south here refers to Egypt, and there are a number of wars during this period of time. Pasuk Lamed, uvovo, they will enter. Vo here simply means the south. Rome at this point in time, approximately 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, they are now going to ascend with Tzim. Tzim means large boats, large ships.
Tzim is a navy. It's difficult kind of to go with ships in the Negev, no?
I don't know. I guess maybe along the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. I guess along the Mediterranean, they're coming in there in that region. Uvovo, Tzim. Kitim. Is what? Tzim?
Tzim.
Tzim miyad kitim. This was predicted in the Bilam, Balak. Tzim miyad kitim, the inu ashur, the inu aver. So there the Mepharshim say, Tzim ships miyad kitim with the kitim. Kitim are a tribe, a Roman tribe. Now that's exactly what it says, and it's exactly what the Malach is telling Daniel. Vovo, they will enter into the Negev. We'll read the Mitzvahs and Rashi in a moment. Tzim ships of the Kitim, Pasuk Lamed. But Vinicha means they'll be crushed. They will not be successful. Exactly what it said in Pasuk. Exactly what it said in Pasuk. Chav Tes told us the end of Pasuk. V'lo yechod yishana v'cho acharona. We discussed Friday different interpretations of those words, but basically it means that the current battle will not succeed. They will be unsuccessful, and that's exactly what it says here. This Pasuk is describing their lack of success. V'nich'o, they will be crushed. The Mitzudos Tzion translates v'yishaver. They will be broken. Kemo v'nichol levav. The heart will be crushed, will be broken. The shaf, what will they do? They will then return, they'll go back where they came from. Right? You always tell them, go back where you come from. Get out of here. The Egyptians will tell the Romans, get lost. The shaf, they will return, v'zo'am, and then they will get angry. Al-Bris Kodesh. Al-Bris Kodesh refers to what we learned the previous psukim on this holy covenant they have forged with the Jewish people. V'osah. And also here means they will now abrogate their treaty, Vishav, and then they will return once again to the region at a later point in time, approximately 100 years later, whenever it was. This is referring to the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Avein, they will understand. The understanding over here means they will now understand how to conquer. We'll see in more detail. Al Oizve Baris Kodesh. Similarly, this means it will come now a point in time where Klal Yisrael will no longer be loyal to the Torah. They will be Averos. Chazal tell us the Bayis Sheni will schar because of Sinas Chinam. So due to the Sinas Chinam, Klal Yisrael being described here with the words, they're Oizve Baris Kodesh. We have abandoned, they have forsaken the Holy Bris, and therefore that is what will give power to the Romans to ascend and to conquer Eretz Yisrael and all of the surrounding nations. So again, Vishav, they will return after they lose that battle a number of years later. Vizoam, they will be angry. They will have charata that they ever made a treaty with Klal Yisrael. Al Bris Kodesh, concerning this, they'll be angry concerning the bris that they made with the Jewish people, which does not allow them to destroy them. But Vosso, they don't care. Vosso means they will do. They do mean they will negate, ignore, do away with their treaty. Vishav Yavin, they will return and now understand that they will have, they will understand. Understanding of it means they have, their understanding is they have the power to do as they please because Klal Yisrael is not holding where they should be. Ulaom milaom yamatz. As long as v'hakol kol Yaakov, v'hayadayim yideis. As long as the kol is Yaakov, then there are no yadayim. It's either one or the other. If Klal Yisrael is not being loyal to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, then Hakadosh Baruch Hu is treated to the Romans to do what they wish. Alayz rebris kodesh. Let's see over here the mitzvah. Very hard pasuk. A lot is going on. Let's see the Rashi, the mitzvahs first, then we'll see the Rashi. So the mitzvahs pasuk lam uvohu be'eretz hanegev. According to the mitzvahs, over here the Romans are returning where they're returning to. They're returning to the south. They're not coming to conquer Eretz Yisrael at this point in time. We're dealing now approximately 100 years before the Churban. They have already dominated the region when they came to power after they conquered the Hashmonaim. But they still did not succeed in conquering the region. They installed Hordas. Hordas was now in his whole dynasty. They were in charge of the Beis HaMikdash, but they were just a puppet king. He was a puppet king in the hands of Rome, but Rome still cannot dominate. So now they're going to return to do a war to conquer the Egypt. Beretz Negev, Yovo Anshe Roma, the Aniois Gidoilois. At Sim are large, massive ships. Avalia Nicha. They will be broken, the Nishbar. They will be humbled and broken. Velo Yatzlich. They will not succeed. Veshav, Vizoam, Viachzor. They will return later, approximately 100 years later. Viyichas. And they will be angry. Vizoam means they will have anger that they were foolish to make a treaty with Klal Yisrael. Al Habris Shekaras Im Yisrael, Am Kodesh, the holy nation. The Yihya, what will they desire at this point in time? They will desire to rewrite history. It never happened. We never made a treaty with the Jewish people. The Jewish people have no claim to the land. They were never there. This land belongs to the Palestinians. It belongs to so and so. They will be angry that they were ever acknowledged that the Jewish people once lived here. They have a right to exist. What is v'asa? I mean, according to the Mitzvah v'asa, they will do things. The yikabetz am rav. They will collect. They will gather. They will amass a large nation. Lilochem bohem, to fight against Jewish people. V'shav, they will return. V'yavein, they will understand. What does that mean? So the Mitzvah explains v'yachzor. V'shav means they will return. The yitain lev lehis boinon. They will concentrate. They will pay close attention. This is very critical. Al Asher, they will take note of the fact that Klal Yisrael are not observant. They're not observant. Al Asher Ozu Yisrael Esbris Kodesh. What is that? He HaTorah HaKadosha. HaNesun that was given Bibris. Through a tree between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The Al Yidei Zeh. And because they realize this, Ya'arov Libo, they will be cruel, they will be deceitful, their heart will be deceitful, Logeshes Aleihem, to approach Klal Yisrael Limulchama, to war. And even though the Romans, have also forged their own private covenant with Klal Yisrael, they'll ignore it. Ulahofer Habris Kimash Amar Bi Yosifun, like it's written in Sefer Yosifun. What? Yeah.
Maybe. The shav doesn't mean they will return, but the shav
the
avain means they will rethink.
Okay, it's another approach. It's not what the Mitzvah says, but it's another approach that translates. Yeah, okay. To reconsider. We'll reconsider our agreement, our bris with the Jewish people. And Farshim point out that the Goyim are more aware than we, unfortunately, how the chashivas of the Torah. Unfortunately, we're observant, but we don't appreciate that the zuchus of Limud HaTorah and the Kiyum HaMitzvos is what protects us, is what gives us strength. So sometimes we slacken off, we weaken ourselves. They don't take it seriously. We don't appreciate what we have. But the Goyim, they are on the outside. They know the chashivas of Torah, and they know that as long as we are mekayim the Torah, we are untouchable. As soon as we begin to become weak in our observance, then they know that's their opening to come and conquer and to take away from us Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly what it says over here. The Yovein Al Oizvei Baris Kodesh. Very frightening words. The Goyim understand the danger the sakana of being in a matzav of oizvei bris kodesh, and they wait for that moment when they see that we are weak, and then they make their move, and they make the move against all the laws and against all of the morals that they have put in place themselves. They also have to keep their word. They made a bris. They made a treaty with us. They don't have a right to just do whatever they want. There's United Nations, right? There's a NATO. There are rules. There are Geneva Conventions. You just can't do whatever you want. No! If Klal Yisrael is Oizei Bris Hashem, they can do whatever they want. They can break all the rules. They understand this, and unfortunately, we do not. That's how the Farshim explain this pasuk in more detail. Now, so this pasuk basically is describing in detail the beginning of the Churban. There are only two psukim here, according to the way we're going to be learning, that describe the Churban Bayesheni. You would think the Churban Bayesheni is so horrific. It's such an event. You would have a whole parak devoted to describing the Churban Bayesheni. And yet here in this vision, it's only described in Pasuk Lamed and Pasuk Lamed Aleph. In fact, Pasuk Lamed, half of Pasuk Lamed, is not even describing the Churban. It's describing what's going to happen 100 years before the Churban, when the Romans will try to conquer not Eretz Yisrael, but try to conquer the Negev, try to conquer other nations in the region. Klal Yisrael they're not going to touch. This Hordes will be acting as a representative, but let them continue living, let them continue doing what they're doing. In fact, study history, the Jews were exempt. Everyone in the world, when the Romans dominated, everyone in the world had to worship their gods. They had to worship, be part of their religion. One of the only exceptions were the Jews. The Jews, that was part of the bris. The Jews were allowed not to worship, not to accept the religion of the Romans, but for money. You had to pay for it. You had to pay through your nose. You had to pay for an exemption. But it's a chiddush that they at least let the Jews completely ignore the religion of the Romans and observe and worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, in essence, was the bris. Because it's very difficult when you study these psukim, you read the mitzvot, you read Rashi, and you read some of the mefarshim, how you can relate this and match this up to history as is presented from secular sourcing, Jewish sources, as presented from the facts that we have. And simply, the bris was Klal Yisrael. They were one of the only exceptions, it could be the only exception, I don't know the whole details, in the world at this point in time, towards the end of the Bayesheni, that was permitted to observe their religion, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring Korbanos, and was not forced to convert to the pagan idols of the Romans, because Christianity was not yet dominant, and they did not yet become the Holy Roman Empire until a later point in time, yeah?
Because the way it worked was, if you were the victor, then
automatically stronger than the other gods. But here they were permitted. That's all part of the deeper meaning of this bris. But it came with a price. Kesef, Yana call a very high price to get that privilege, that exemption. Okay, so but only in the second half of the pasuk is where they're beginning to make their plan. Vishav. See, this pasuk is not even describing the Churban. Just now, they're going to return. The Yavin, they understand. Now they can make their move. Let's see Rashi pasuk Lamed. Uvohu boli lochim bo tzim esios, large groups, large battalions, kitim roimim gedudim memelechas roime sheyim roi bo gedudim, different armies and troops from the kingdom of Rome, sheyim rudubo, which has rebelled against the Egyptians, the Egyptian Greeks who are rebelling against the Romans, v'nishbar ktsas, they will not succeed. They will be humbled. They will suffer. These are what are called the Punic Wars. Is that what it's called? There was a period of time. There were wars at this point in time in Rome. V'shav zam al bris kodesh, v'shav li'aretz lechafer bris shekarasim Yisrael. V'shav yevon lozay bris kodesh v'yitein lev liyisponin she'ozvu, same exact thing as the mitzudos, she'ozvu Yisrael bris kodesh, that they have abandoned their Torah. The Torah sinas, here Rashi says the Torah sinas chinam u'machloikas. during the time Bibayas Sheni, that they will acknowledge, they will become aware that there is terrible hatred among the Jews. There is divisiveness. Sinaschina machloikis Bibayas Sheni kemoshu kasev sefer Yosefin v'yishbuchu dam naki, and they will be murdered. Adke dekach, the sinaschina among the Jews themselves will lead to murder. V'alzos yiftach, they will have faith. V'yeda sheyatzliach, they will be successful. V'yofer es bris me'imam, and they will abrogate the bris they made with them. The Yiskar Bohemen will now, and now will provoke to them to go to war. Okay, now we come to Pasuk. Now Pasuk Lamed Aleph Uzirayim Mimenu Ya'amoidu. Now what does that mean? Zirayim means the mighty. The mighty from them, referring to Rome, simply means Titos. The mighty, the Titos will lead an army against. This pasuk is describing the Churban Bayis Sheni. We're now jumping ahead approximately 100 years. Uzroim, the mighty ones of the Romans,
the generals,
specifically Titos, Mimenu from them Yamodu will stand, will prevail. The Chilulu Hamikdash Hamaos, and they will profane the Mikdash that is called the might. There are a number of psukim which refer to the Mikdash as the Oz. We'll get to that in one moment. The Ma'oz. And what will they do? The Hesiru HaTamid. This is a very prominent theme which appears in Daniel, that the Mikdash is described more often than not in Sefer Daniel as the end of the Karban Tamid. If you ask the average person, what's so terrible about the Churban Beis HaMikdash? They'll tell you because the Churban Beis HaMikdash represents sovereignty. I mean, how do you think about it? On Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So what do you think about it? Well, it means, we all know there's something called Shechina. We don't know what exactly what Shechina, but it means that the Hashem's divine presence is resting among us. And the Beis HaMikdash is a symbol of Jewish sovereignty. And it's the capital of the world. It's what unites us all. It's the Beis Tefillah L'chol Ha'amim. I don't think the average person focuses on the Tamid. Yeah, you bring Karbanos. That's right, you learn Tzchumash Vayikra, you bring Karbanos, it's a carbon Tamid. Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Ben Harbayim. I don't think we look at the carbon Tamid as an animal sacrifice, because we all know that Hashem does not want Karbanos. Hashem wants sincerity. Hashem wants us to serve Him Torah Mitzvos. Carbon Tamid is one of the mitzvahs that we do. But it's very interesting that in Daniel, when we describe the Churban, we focus very much that the Tamid shall Shachar shall Abayim will come to an end. Ve'isiru ha-Tamid ve'nasnu ha-Shikutz mishremeim, and in its place they will erect a Shikutz, an abomination that is mishremeim, that is considered desolate even when it is erect. Something which is meaningless. It's a dead, a piece of wood, a piece of stone. A meaningless abomination will take the place of the mizbeach upon which it used to be offered the karban tamid. Let's look at pasuk lamanaf in the mitzvah of David. Lamanaf was zroim anshei milchama balei zroya, the warriors. The Bnei Roma, Yischasku, they will strengthen themselves. The Yechalu as Hamidrash Shahu Amoos, the base Hamidrash is called the Moos, the Hachoizek Shel Yisrael. We have a number of psukim in Chumash. Let me see if I can find it, in which we refer to the base Hamidrash as the Moos. Let me see here if I know where it is. Yeah, Vishavarti, in this is in the Toichacha, in Vayikra. Hashem warned, now this really is reference to the Bayis Rishon. Vishavarti, I will break es geon uschem, the pride of your might. So what is uschem? Rashi there says, Uperish Rashi, ze beis hamikdash. So you see here the word uschem, which is the same word as oz, is a reference to the beis hamikdash. Another example, Pasuk in Yecheskel, Hirani Mechal es Mikdashi es Geonus. Another said, come out the same words. Mechal not Veshavarti es, but Hirani Mechal in the Yecheskel Chavdal Chav Aleph, Hirani Mechal es Mikdashi es Geonus. So you see the word Oz is a term that refers to the Beis Hamikdash. Now it's interesting to note that this word olz in Chumash Vayikra and in Yecheskel refers to the Bayis Rishon, but here we're using it in reference to the Bayis Sheni, and that will be destroyed. Ratzel, back to the Mesudas David. Ratzel Oyma Yisarfu Hamikdash Boish Veisiru Hatamid Yivatlu Kakrovas Hatamid Al Yidei Churban Habayis V'Nosnu Hashikutz Mishaimim B'Mokoyim Hamikdash B'Mokoyim Hamikdash Yamdu Tzuras Avodas Kerchov Mazolos Hameshukotz. That is disgusting. Hanelam, that's a deaf mute, does not speak, does not hear, has no koach whatsoever. Umeshusok Ke'even Doimim is silent, like a silent stone, like a dead stone. So this is what's going to happen. This pasuk Lamed Aleph is the pasuk that describes the Churban Bayis Sheni. Pasuk Lamed Aleph in the Rashi, who's Zroyim Mimenu Yamodu Yishlach Son of the Gibor of Yerushalayim, that Caesar will send his general to Yerushalayim, the Chilu HaMikdash, HaMa'os, Ma'on Beis HaMikdash, final destroy. Now this, by the way, some of us want to learn here in my Sefer Mishpatos, in this Sefer Mishpatos Zohar, it says he wants to read these two Pesuk and Pasuk Lam and Pasuk Lal and Alf in reference to the famous Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Vav that describes the story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in his discussion with Aspasianus Caesar. Now what happened? Aspasianus at that point in time when he had a discussion was not yet the Caesar. He was not yet the Caesar. He was just a general. And he was in charge of the region. This was before the time of the Churban. Things were getting very, very bad. And Yochanan ben Zakkai met with him secretly. And he asked him, give me Yavne v'chachomecha. And give us a doctor. Give us a doctor for what? Rabbi Shmuel, give us a doctor. So he met with Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he met with Aspasianus, and then what happened? As he was talking to me, he said to him, called him a melech. So he said to him, how do you know you're Chayiv Misa, you're Rabbi Malchus? So he said to him, no, Hashem would not deliver, you're going to be Oyle Ligadud, because the rule is Hashem does not deliver Yerushalayim into the hands of a Hedyot. Hashem will only cause the Jewish people to suffer in the hands of the Melech, therefore I know for a fact that you will one day become the Caesar. And Kachava, as they were talking, a messenger arrived that the Caesar in died. In Rome, it was very dangerous to be a Caesar. It was the worst job, because they didn't last very long. They were poisoned. You didn't know every meal could have been your last meal. You didn't know exactly what you were drinking and what you were eating. But they told him, guess what? The Caesar died, and they have elected you. They have voted you to become the new Caesar. So what did he do? So he returned. He told him, I'm going back. I'm so excited. My shoes don't even fit because my bones are swollen in joy and pride that I have become the Caesar. He had to give him some bad news in order to cause the swelling, the swelling to go down. But he told him, I'm not going to come back. I'm going to send a replacement. And who did he send in his place? He sent Titos Harasha. So that's what it says over here in this pasuk, according to Mishpatos Zohar. I think he's saying this on his own. He has a lot of chidushim, this mechaver, and he says here, back to pasuk lamit, is going to be first it seem the kitim nivnicha, but vishav, they'll come back. This refers, vishav returns, refers to the tkufa of Aspasianus. He will return, vizom al bris kodesh, and he will abrogate, he will get angry at the Jewish people, and he will be also, he'll do whatever he wants to do, he will ignore the bris, but vishav, he will return back home. Why will he return back home? Because he has received word from the messenger that he has been elected as the new Caesar. The Yavain, he will now know what to do. He will now, being that he was on scene, he met with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai promised him to give Yavne v'chachomeha, and also he understood the entire situation. He understood what he has to do in reference to the Oizrei Bris Kodesh. Uzroyim mimenu yamodu, he will appoint Titos, the mighty one. Mimenu means from him. I think someone that Titos was his son. Is that correct? There are different, I'm not sure that's 100% correct. Titus was his son. He will send the mighty ones, mimenu, from him, Yamodu, will stand. He will go home, but he will send a replacement, Titus, and Titus will indeed come. The Chilulu will destroy Hamikdash Hamaos, the Esir Hatamid, Vinasnu Ashikot Smishaimim. Okay, Pasik Lamed Beis. Now we go further in this period of time. This is a very dangerous period of time. The base Hamikdash, the Bayis Sheni, has been destroyed, and the Jews are being taken down to exile. And what's going to happen now? Umar Shie Viris. There are going to be a group of Jews that are going to abandon the Torah. And anyone at this point in time that was willing to abandon and to give up, to surrender, not just to surrender the physical Beis Hamikdash, the physical dwelling place in the Eretz Yisrael, but to surrender their souls and to accept the Romans and to accept their religion and their way of life, Umar Shie Viris, those that are wicked in the observance of the Bris Hashem, Yachanif, they will flatter Bacha Lakos with smooth talk. So the Romans, under the authority of Titos, will flatter and promise great reward and success to any Jew that's willing to publicly abandon his religion and acknowledge the new authority in town, Titos and the Romans. The Am, however, not everyone's going to give in. Not everyone's going to be fooled by this flattery and smooth talk. The Am, there will be a nation, referring to Klal Yisrael, Yodei Elokov, who know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yachaziku, they will strengthen themselves at this very difficult time. It's an amazing thing. We're dealing here with Churban. And it's so easy to give up and to throw up the white flag. But no. Yachaziku v'osu, they will strengthen themselves and continue to observe and to do Hashem's mitzvahs. You can say the same thing after the Holocaust. I mean, Rachman al-Sun, there were so many people that it was, you can't chas v'shalom judge anyone. But there were many people that we know that it was too much. But on the other hand, there were many people that, despite the horrors they witnessed and the suffering they endured, they fulfilled exactly this pasuk. The Am Yodei, easier said than done. The Am Yodei Elokov Yachaziku, will strengthen themselves, the Osu, and will do for Hashem once again. They will rebuild Yiddishkeit all over again in America and Eretz Yisrael and all over the world. It's an amazing pasuk describing what happened after the Churban Bayis Sheni. There were two groups. There were groups that were that took the flattering and the smooth talk of the nations of the world, of the Romans. They gave in, and there were Jews. No, Yachaziku v'yosu. Here, the Malach is telling Daniel about these two groups of people that are going to exist at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Let's see.
Daniel
is witnessing this. The Malach is speaking. The one that's speaking here is the Malach. The Malach. I think it's Michoel, if I'm not mistaken.
He's selling that to Daniel.
No, Michoel, Gabriel.
Gabriel. What's going to happen?
Yes, he's just telling him. Yes, he's telling him what's going to happen.
How many years are we talking?
So he there is staying at during the time of the Churban Bayis happened. This event is being told to him more than 420 years in advance. Because they're standing now before the building of the Bayis Sheni. They're standing now in between the Bayis Rish and the Bayis Sheni, approximately 52 years after the Churban Bayis Rishon, and he's telling him what's going to be 18 years from now will be the Bayis will be built, will be 34 more years of the Persians, and then Alexander the Great will rise on the scene. He will die. His malchus will be divided, and then it will continue for that for another 180 years. Then the Romans will come. The Romans will exist for approximately 206 years together with the Hashmonaim, and then they will destroy the Beis Hamikdash. And now, afterwards, we'll have this. So he's telling, the Malach is speaking to him approximately 450 years. Yes. And I'm just telling you one interpretation. Now, you mentioned many times, you go and you look in the Mefarshim, every pasuk over here could be interpreted in different kufa, different time, different interpretation. We're learning according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, which now is going further. We're going straight to history. And we're not finished. We're going to come to modern times. The Perek ends off with Goyg u'Magog. So everything that's going to happen throughout the entire world history will be hinted to in these psukim. The interpretation is not easy to understand, and much of it only can be understood in hindsight. It's not shach to understand it as it unfolds. But this is the way we are learning this pasuk. We mentioned many times the reason why the Malach is telling this to them, what's the purpose? Is because if you know what's coming, that is a chatzi nechama. If you know that how things are going to end, how things are going, it's predicted, you can deal with it. If you don't know what's coming, it will be too difficult to deal with as it occurs. Let's see pasuk lamed beis in the Mitzudos David. Those members of Klal Yisrael, Asher Yarshia, which the Romans will be successful in influencing them to become wicked. How do they become wicked? By abandoning the Torah. La'azoiv bris Hashem. Also, those individuals who will become wicked, Yachanif. The Romans will flatter. Bachalak lakos, with smooth talk. Amorim, with smooth talk, an expression with smooth words. But not everyone's going to fall for this. The am yoide elokov, aval im kol ze. Klal Yisrael will always survive at the end. Aval im kol ze kololos ha'am. The general group of people of Klal Yisrael, hayoidim es Hashem yachaziku bedivrei habris. They will take hold of the words of the bris of the Torah. Means the Torah. The yasu osam and fulfill the Torah. V'lo yifnu el mul hachanufa. They will not turn to the flattery. Chalak lokos ho amorim, and to the smooth talk of the Romans, they will rebel. They will preserve their traditions, the Torah, and from them, Klal Yisrael will be rebuilt once again. Let's see Rashi pasuk lamed beis. Lamed beis umar shiei bris yachanif peritze Yisrael. So here in turn he refers to the sinners as the peritze, people who break down the break-offs. They break all of the mechitzos, all of the barriers which keep us separate between from the goyim. Sheyischabru imo, they will join the Romans. Then we have the baryonim, right? The baryonim, they were the groups of Jews who did want to become part of the Romans. The arshiu brisam, they will abrogate the bris with a Kadosh Baruch Hu im chavrim, with their friends. The mamrim, they will rebel. The Yachanif Bechalak Lokos, and they will flatter with smooth talk, they'll flatter themselves, flatter the Romans, they'll flatter each other, period. But Yoide Elokov, Ukeshere Yisrael, the kosher Jews. You have such an expression, a kosher Jew? I only thought meat was kosher. Basar kosher. But it says here, Ukeshere, because kosher doesn't mean kosher, means fit. Okay, it's an expression. I'm reading the Rashi in Pasuk Lamed Beis, Perik Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Ukeshere Yisrael, Shechziku Biyiras Eloi Kehem, will take hold of the fear of Hashem, Kiloimar, Yeach. They will hold on to Hashem and the Torah, and they will not abandon it. The Asu es Torah Sam, they will do the Torah, they will observe the Torah, and they will rebuild Torah. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Lamed Gimel Umaskile Om. Now the wise men. Now this does not refer to the Maskilim, of course, of the 19th, Baskov, the 19th and early 20th century. Umaskile Om, the wise men of the nation. This refers, we'll see in a few moments, this refers to the Tanoim. Now we are beginning to enter into the era of the Tanoim. What happened after the Bayis was Chorav? For the next 500 years, there was an explosion of Torah. The Mishnah, the Gemara, the Rabbanan Savaroi, the Goinim, we're dealing over here with a glorious period of time. The Golis was obviously a horror for Klal Yisrael, but it opened up the Tkufa of Torah. I mean, you can't say only the Chorban, the Tkufa of Torah really started with Hanukkah. There's a lot to be said about that. To be discussed is that the Tkufa, really the roots of Torah Shebal Peh, how it developed into what we have today, Mishnah, Talmud, so on and so forth, that really began, the sparks began with the miracle of Hanukkah approximately 200 years before the Churban, but it was dormant. It was dormant. It was on the ascendancy. Before that, it was a different avoda. Obviously, there was Torah. There's no question about it. It was Limud HaTorah, but it wasn't developed to the degree that it is today, at a later point in time, and that began with Hanukkah, but it really took off with the Churban Beis HaMikdash, with Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who codified all of the teachings of Torah Shebaal Peh until we have the Mishnayos, and all of his companions, associates, contemporaries, the Tanoim, and all of the Amoraim, and the Rabbanan Savaroyim, and so on and so forth. So here, they are called here in this Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Umaskile Am, the wise men of the nations, of the nation. Yavinu, they will understand, Allah Rabim, not just understand for themselves, an expression, to others. They will teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. But what's going to happen to the Tanoim? They're going to be killed. This is 70 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. We're now 70 years. The Asara Haruge Malchus. Now two of the Asara Gemalchus were killed immediately at the time of the Churban, which was Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was killed later. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Yishmael, the Nasi and the Kohen Gadol, were killed at the time of Mamish, at the time of the Churban. About 70 years later is when all of the other eight were killed. They were killed 80 by the time of Beitar, during that Kufa later on. And that's what we are referring to. Now we're jumping ahead another 80 years, 70 years, 60, 70 years. We have the Maskili Ha'am. The aftermath of the Churban are the Tanoim, Yavinu L'Rabim. They will establish Torah. They will establish the Mishnah, the foundation of Torah Shebaal Peh, but comes with a price. Terrible price. The price is V'nichshalu. They will fall. They will stumble at the hands of the Romans. The Romans were not finished. The Churban Beis HaMikdash wasn't the end. They thought the Jews in the Mela will assimilate and they'll collect taxes. They didn't go anywhere, like the previous pasuk. The Am Yodei Elokav Yachziku V'yasu. Just because the Talmid has come to an end, just because it's been replaced with the Shikutz Mishaymeim, doesn't matter. Klal Yisrael went forward. They still the Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. Maskile Ha'am Yavinu L'Rabim. But when they saw they were not successful, they took their lives, they were gezer shmad, different gezeros, you may not observe the Torah, not in Bavel, not in Rome, not in all the areas, surrounding areas, you saw where there were still pockets of Jews living, and v'nichsholu, they were killed by cherev, by sword, uvelehova, fire. Some of you learned the Asura Gemalkel, some were killed, Rabbi Clement Tradion was burnt alive, Rabbi Akiva, some were killed by sword, Bishvi uvebiza, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shmuel, different stories, different tanaim. They were taken captive on boats, and the children taken on boats to faraway lands, captivity, and they were treated as uvebiza, yamim, and this will go on for a long period of time. There are four expressions describing Churban. It's interesting because that's not clear the significance, but there are four expressions here describing the suffering of the Talmidei Chachamim at this time. Cherev, sword, fire, lehava, shvi, captivity, and uvebiza, prophet. Yamim, and this will occur for 4 days. There's obviously great symbolism in the significance of these four terms describing the suffering of Jewish people during this Tkufa of Shmad. Okay, let's see over here the Mitzudos and Rashi. Just we'll finish up this pasuk and we'll stop. Pasuk Lamed Gimel in the Mitzudos Maskil Yom Hachachamim Shabohem Yavinu L'Rabim L'Lamdim Devei Abris. They will teach Klal Yisrael at this point of time. They will teach everyone. Torah will develop, but V'nichshalu Hamaskilu Mahem Yuchshalu. They will stumble. What does that mean? Lipol Bacherev Uve Lehavos Eish. They will be killed. Meshech Zman Yomim Rabin. Rashi Pasuk Lamed Gimel Pasik Lamed Gimel Umaskile on the wise men of the nation, Chachomim Shemohem Kumok Goin Shel Beis Rebbe the Chachme Hadorois Yavinu L'Rabim. What does that mean? They will understand in the future tense for the masses. Yidrishu La'am Ha'aretz. So it's not an insulting term. Am Ha'aretz means to the people, to the populace. La'am Ha'aretz Es HaTorah the Amasu Yidevim will strengthen their hands, lahachazik, but hold on to be strong, to loyal to Torah. But v'nichshalu begalusam, they will stumble in their exile, b'cherev uvelehava, in fire. Okay, so this is very powerful stuff describing going straight to history. Over here, so we put on a point out of pasuk. I want to point out.
Why did this happen?
Yeah. Why? No one knows the answer to that. That's why do good things happen to bad people? There is no answer to that question. Bad things to good people. Bad things happen to good people. There is no answer to that question. That is Tzaddik Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem. Tzaddik V'ralo. Tzaddik V'ralo. We don't understand why this is. I just want to point out over here. This in the Teichacha. In the Teichacha it says, "V'afgam b'yosa b'eretz oyvehem." We know this pasuk. And when the Jewish people are in the land of their enemies, lo na'astim v'lo ga'altim, I will not, even though I brought upon the klal yishol churban, the bias has been destroyed in the previous pasuk. Lo na'astim v'lo ga'altim, I will not despise them. I will not, two different expressions of despise them, l'chaloisam, to destroy them, l'hafer b'risi itam. And what does this mean? What the Gemara Masechet Megillah Yudalef explains, Lahafer Bris Itom, Bimei Parsoyim, Shehemadati Lohem, Shel Beis Rebbe, Vechachme Doros. Now it's interesting, the Gemara Masechet Megillah refers to Bimei Parsim, because the Romans, this sits very well with the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra learns that the Romans are an extension of the Parsim. It's very difficult what the Gemara means, because the Rebbe was not during the Persians. Rebbe was during the Romans.
So another alternative is that it's a censored version.
Okay, that's an interesting idea. Okay, that's right. I didn't think of that. But, or you learn that the Romans, even if you learn that the Romans, as 99% of the Achronim learn, or the Midrashim, that Rome is the fourth Malchus, but everyone agrees that Rome is an extension, is an outgrowth of Greece. Rome adopted. It's like, man, they don't have their, and Rashi and the Chazal tells, generally speaking, they don't have their own culture. They have adopted the Greek culture, and just they were a break off, and they had some innovations, some chidushim, but the foundation of Rome is built on the culture and values of Yavan. So if you want to learn that it's an extension, it's the third Malchus, like the Ibn Ezra, it's perfect. If you want to learn that it's a fourth Malchus, and according to the Ibn Ezra, the fourth Malchus will then be Yeshuel. But if you want to learn, like all the Midrashim, that Yavan, that Rome is the fourth, it's still, there is some type of relationship to the Yavanim here. Okay, that's what it says in the Gemara's Tifa. The Gemara over here is indeed telling us that even though there's going to be Golis, and that's what the Teichah is summarizing these two psukim, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Beis, and Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Even though there's going to be a Chorbin, that's exactly what it says in the Teichah. It's interesting, this one Pasuk in the Teichah is paralleled here in three Pasuk. Let's read it again. The Pasuk Teichah says, V'yafgam zois, b'yoysam b'eretz oyveim, even though they're going to be among the nation, the land of their enemies. Hashem says, don't worry, lo ma'astim lo ga'altim l'hofer b'risi itam. What does that mean? Exactly these three psukim. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Uzroyim imenu yamoidu v'chilu hamikdash hama'oz. The mighty ones of Rome will come, they will arise, and they will destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'esirat hamid v'nosnu hashikots mishoimim. U'marshei bris yachanif. And many people, Jewish people, will be swept away. They will bow to the pressure of the Romans. But The Am, there will always be an Am Yoidei Elokov Yachaziku V'yosu, and there will be people, Rebbe and his companions, Umaskile Am Yovinu Lorabim. They will teach Klal Yisrael Torah, and they will be the survival. That will be the secret to the survival of Klal Yisrael. Jewish continuity is always through education. It's always through Limud HaTorah.
And just one point. Yeah. Statements like this, they're definitely censored.
And okay.
You know this because these statements often appear in other midrashim.
And there it says wrong.
Because they're lesser known.
They weren't censored. Censor them. Yeah, okay, I agree. I'm not 100%. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. Okay, so that pretty much covers this period. Two psukim describing volumes and volumes of Jewish history being summarized and alluded to here in this in these psukim. We're up to over here, pasuk lamid dalet. Okay, so we'll stop here.